welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Gimel. We continue with the explanation of the different terms that we saw in the Mishnah through which one would obligate himself in Nazirus. Hareini Kozeh. We saw in the Mishnah if a person would say that expression, he would be bound to Nazirus. The Gemara asks, Nihi Nami Detofus Besairo. Granted, like we saw as an explanation in our previous shiur concerning these expressions, we explained that if a person, said Ahe Noe. Shmuel had explained, where we have the double underline highlighting Shmuel's name and the diamond which followed introducing his explanation of the Mishnah, there we saw that if a person says Ahei Noeh and he's holding his hair, that shows that his interest is in accepting Nazirus. In this case, our Mishnah, assuming the same explanation, he says Hareini Kozeh and he's holding his hair. Nevertheless, we ask, even though he's holding his hair, Hareini Bozeh Lo Omar. He didn't say, I am going to be in this. Now, you'll notice how we read the Gemara according to the Girsa change that you see on the side. The original text that we have is amended by the note on the side. Bozeh, meaning I accept to be in this. In this would be clear, but he didn't say that. The Mishnah's expression is Hareini Kozeh, I am like this. So the question basically is, somebody's holding his hair. He didn't say anything of substance. Omar Shmuel Kagon Shehoya Nozir Oiver Lefonov. So if I'm understanding things correctly, Shmuel is pointing out, granted that he's holding his hair, but in addition to that, a Nozir is passing in front of him, and he says, Hareini Kozeh, I am like this one. Things are then quite clear that he is accepting Nazirus. Hareini Misalseil. We saw in the Mishnah that word leading to Nazirus. The Gemara asks, Mimai Dehodein Psilsu Sairahu. From where do you know that this silsul, that this term is a reference to hair? All he says in the Mishnah is Hareini Misalseil. Where do you see a connection between that word Misalseil and hair? Once we can establish a connection to hair, so then, as we've already seen, we can connect that with Nazirus, which incorporates hair growth. So the Gemara answers, Kid'omar le'ahi amso de be'rebi lahu gavra. We have seen the term misalseil being a reference to hair, as was featured in the story involving the bondmaid of Rebbe. Amsa is a bondmaid of Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi. She said to a particular man, Ad mosai ato misalseil besarecha. Until when are you flipping your hair around, fondling your hair? That's misalseil, and you see that in the context of sarecha, your hairs. The Gemara, and you can see with the markings on the under the Mivneh heading on the side, these are Hatzos Chilufus. When you see this crown shape throughout the Gemara is raising alternative explanations. So the Gemara says, the individual says, Hareini Misalseil, Eimo Torah. Maybe it's a reference to someone accepting upon himself to study Torah. Dichtiv, we find in the scriptures, in the Sefer Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, Perek Dalet Posuches, in its description of the Torah, it says Salsaleha Usaroi Mimeka. So, and that's a reference to Torah learning. Omar Shmuel, Hacha Nami, here too, as we've explained in the previous cases, Shetofus Besiris. You have someone that's holding his hair and he's saying Hareini Misalsel, so I know that the Misalsel in this person's case is related to the hair and not a reference to Torah, and hence the acceptance of Nazirus. Hareini Michalkel, another expression we saw in the Mishnah, leading to the acceptance of Nazirus. The Gemara asks, Mimai de Hodein Kilkul Sairohu, from where do you know that the word Michalkel or Kilkul is a reference to hair? Answer, Kibisnan, as is taught in Maseches Shabbos. Maseches Shabbos deals, amongst many details of Shabbos, the laws concerning carrying items from one domain to another. And in that context, a substance called sid. Sid sometimes is translated as lime. Whatever the case is, it's used as a depilatory, as a hair removal ingredient. So in terms of carrying an amount on Shabbos, it has to be an amount of, we'll say, of significance, maybe a minimum amount, but the minimum amount of significance would constitute a Shabbos violation if you carry the substance from one domain to another, from a private domain into a public thoroughfare. So when it comes to Sid, Reb Yehuda Omer, Kedei Losud Kilkul. The Omar Rav, and Rav explains Bas Tzido, hair growing from one's temple. So we see from here the term kilkul in the context of hair removal. Hence, kilkul or machalkel has to do with hair. Alternative explanation, a question suggesting an alternative, emo mezinanyi. When a person says hareini machalkel, maybe he's accepting upon himself to support the poor. Kidichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Vayechalkel Yosef es Aviv Esoch Echov. Yosef, in Mitzrayim, he was the viceroy, descended to Mitzrayim, and ended up supporting his father and his brothers that also followed him to Mitzrayim. So the word Michalkel can refer to the support of the needy. Omar Shmuel, Hocha Nami, Shetofus Besaru. Here too, he is saying Hareini Michalkel while holding his hair. So I know, combining words with action, that he is Michalkel is a reference to hair, and hence he's accepting upon himself Nazirus, which involves the requirement of growing one's hair during the period of the Nazirus. Hare olai l'shaleach pera. Hare ze nazir. Another expression featured in the Mishnah where one accepts Nazirus if a person says that it is upon me, I accept upon myself l'shaleach pera. Mimai de Hodein Shiluach. From where do you know that the word Shiluach, ribui, who has to do with growth? Right now, we're assuming that the word pera is a reference to hair, so the expression, Hare Olai L'Shaleach Pera, means I am accepting upon myself to have my hair grow. Once again, as a nozir. So where do we see the word L'Shaleach referring to growth? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Shalochayech Pardes Rimonim. So, Shalochayech is, in this context, a reference to the growth of the fruits in a pomegranate orchard. So, pomegranates, Rimonim, they grow in a Pardes, and Shalochayech then is a reference to their growth. Amo, maybe, again, also an alternative suggestion. Emo midi davuri, maybe l'shaleach means to remove davuri. There's a Tosfos in the third Tosfos from the top of the page. You can see at the end of the line there's a squiggle underline after the first narrow line of the Tosfos. The emo midi davuri hu shekibel olav ligaleach lavir haseir lichishigdal. Maybe what this person is vowing is to remove his hair as it grows. Kidichtiv, and support for this suggestion is from the following pasuk, v'shaleach mayim al panei chutzos. And this has to do with the flowing of the water, water rushing by, and clearing away things as it flows with the flow of the water. So maybe, hareini l'shaleach, hare alai l'shaleach para means removal. The Gemara responds, tana para para yolif. The tana, there's a bit of an explanation, a lengthy explanation on this. In the Tosfos, he says that the word Tana is not a reference necessary to our Mishnah, but to a Mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin. And there, the Tana learns Pera Pera Yolif. He uses a word comparison. Ksiv Hocha, in here it says, with regard to Nazir, Kodesh Yagadel Pera. Uksiv Hossam Gabi Kain Hedyot, referring to the laws of a common Kohen. A common Kohen is required in order to serve in the Beis HaMikdash that he has a haircut of hair growth that is no more than 30 days. In other words, we'll say every 30 days a Kohen Hedyot has to take a haircut, and only then could he serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So it says in the context of a Kohen Hedyot, Ufera lo yishalechu. So that you see the word by Nozir, you see the word Pera, and you see by the Kohen Gadol, by the Kohen Hedyot, Pera lo yishalechu. That means that he's allowed to have his hair grow, but not more than 30 days of hair growth. A more elaborate explanation of this point in the Gemara you will find in the Rashi that we will learn together. The first line under the Gemara text, Tana Pera Pera Yolif, the Tana learns a Gzereshav, a word comparison using the word Pera. Ksiv Hocha Benozir Gadel Pera, Uksiv Gabi Kohen Hedyot Ufera Lo Yishalechu. In both contexts, by the Nozir and by the Kohen Hedyot, by the common Kohen, you find this word, Ma Pera Dichtiv Gabi Kohen Hedyot Lishno De Ribuihu. Just like the word para in the context of the common Kohen is an expression indicating hair growth, kidamrinu bepara kohen gadol para lehave ach shloshim umir belo lirvit fei shloshim. The law regarding the common Kohen is that his hair can grow to being para. Now, obviously, we're using the word that we need to define, but nevertheless, you'll appreciate this. The hair is allowed to reach para, which means a 30-day growth of hair. However, not more than that. The Gamrino Le Minozir. This idea of 30 days by the Kohen Hedyot, interestingly enough, is learned from Nozir. Dichtiv Bey, regarding Nozir, it says, you see the word Yihyeh, and that's spelled, as you can see, a yud and a hey, and again a yud and a hey, and the numerical value, v'yeh begematria hachi havi, the numerical value of those four letters equals 30. Yud is 10, hey is 5, and again another 15 equaling 30. So by Nazirus we know that the minimum amount of Nazirus, if a person accepts Nazirus without qualifying how long he wants to observe it, it's 30 days. So af gidol pera ha'omur gabi nozir gidol seir hochi have. So too, just like by Kohen Hedyot, which is learned from Nozir that it's a 30-day issue, a 30-day growth of hair, so too by the Nozir, pera is a reference to gidol pera, growth of hair. The hochi mashma, and the understanding then of hare olai l'shaleach pera is shianichenu legadel, I will allow the hair to continue growing ad shiovu l'chlal pera, until it reaches pera, shein shloishim, which results in 30 days. So we take the word yeah that you find by Nazirus, meaning 30, and applying that to the Kohen Hedyot, indicating that his hair growth is up till 30 days, and then we go back to Nazir, where we see the expression of Pera as well, and hence, Harei Olai L'Shaleach Pera means I accept upon myself hair growth till up for a minimum of 30 days. Rashi goes on with an interesting comment. He says, "V'afilu bois lemeimar d'olim shiluach midi de'omerhu." Even if you want to go back to the original suggestion of the Gemara that shiluach means removal of something, akati lo kashi v'lo midi. Even with that, there really is no longer any difficulty. D'hachi mashma, the understanding of the example of the Mishnah, harei olai l'shaleach se'ar l'chlal shloshim she'e pera d'nozir. So what the person is really saying is, I'm accepting upon myself a hair growth of pera, which I will then remove. But when will it be removed? Only after it reaches 30 days of growth. So even, as we said, the idea of shiluach, meaning removal, does not contradict the conclusion of the Mishnah that Harei Olai L'Shaleach Pera means acceptance of Nazirus, which is a minimum of 30 days. We continue in the Gemara. In fact, the word of the Pasuk V'Shaleach Mayim Apnei Chutzos means growth. As water flows, it waters the plants, the fruit growing by it, by the water side, and hence you see the watering of fruits leading to their growth. So sholeach mayim apnei chutzos can very well itself mean growth. And hence, harei olai l'shaleach pera, we see two psukim now, shlochayach padis rimoinim and v'shaleach mayim apnei chutzos, leading to sholeach, meaning growth of hair in our case, indicating the zeros. The Mishnah also said, harei olai tziporim, a person accepts upon himself birds. Rabbi Meir Omer Nazir, that is a tantamount to acceptance of Nazirus. V'chachomim omrim einu nazir. The Chachomim disagree and said it doesn't result in Nazirus. My time of the Rabbi Meir, what is the basis of Rabbi Meir saying that one who accepts himself, upon himself birds, he becomes a Nazir? Omar Reish Lakish, and this marking, the bow tie that you see featured on the side under the Mivneh, Tshuvos l'shilim my time of the Rabbi Meir, the Omar Reolai Tziporim, Rabbi Nazir, explanations of how does Rabbi Meir see in this expression, Harei Olai Tziporim, the acceptance of Nazirus? We have Reish Lakish as answer number one, and at the second line from the top of Amud Beis, you see again a bow tie marking. And by the way, if you don't have a marked Gemara, realize you can access them by contacting gmarkings@gmail.com. So, Omar Reish Lakish, Tziporim Smuchim L'Seyar Kibel Olav. When he said, Harei Olai Tziporim, he's indicating that I'm accepting upon myself birds that are in the proximity of hair. Now that sounds quite obscure at this point. If we look in the Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi column, six lines from the bottom, Tziporim Smuchim L'Seyar, V'Heichon Hein Tziporim Smuchim L'Seyar, where do we find birds near hair? Kidachi b'doniel, and Rashi quotes the pasuk that we'll see very shortly in the Gemara, Adi sarei kenishrin rovo tefroi kitziporin. The tziporin v'seir b'chad kroksi. We find birds in hair in the same pasuk. And once we're talking about a person accepting hair, we understand, as we've seen so many times till now, he is accepting upon himself Nazirus. Now, the Tosfos has a clearer presentation of this, and you'll notice in the Tosfos, in the lower part of the page, Dibur Masel Tziporim, we have a star in the Tosfos. Let's read from that point, that where you see the dashed underlining. Mistoma hochi komar. It's most likely that his intention when he says this, Harei Olai Tziporim, as follows. Harei Olai mitzvah, I'm accepting upon myself a mitzvah d'shaicha beit tziporim atluyo b'mitzvah seir. I'm accepting upon myself a mitzvah that has relevance in some way to birds, and that mitzvah with its bird relevance is connected to a hare. What is that when you put it all together? Dehainu nozir. And how does that work out? Shemitma, if a nozir becomes defiled, defiled to the dead, tzorf tziporim, he has to bring a series of sacrifices, including a bird offering, v'hachi pirusho, mitzvah hatzli b'tziporim, ochein ein lefarish mishum smichus greido ken mefarish hashas. We're not then saying that what the person is accepting upon himself is a function of simply words in proximity to one another, but rather with this more elaborate explanation. And let's go back now to the Gemara text. So we were asking, what is the basis of Rabbi Meir saying that one who says Harei LaTzipor becomes a nazir? So Rish Lakish says, because the person is really referring to Tziporim Smuchim L'Seir, birds in the proximity of hair. Kibel Olav, that's what he is accepting upon himself. Dichtiv, what's the pasuk in which you see birds in the proximity of hair? Dichtiv, Adi Sairei Kenishrin Rivov V'Tifroi Ketziporin. The pasuk is an Aramaic pasuk which is characteristic of the book of Daniel, Daniel Perek Dalet Pasuk Lamed, in which he has a vision and he describes the hares growing like that on eagles and nails like you find on birds. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Matfis Inish B'midi T'Somech Lei. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that people will attach themselves, will bind themselves to elements that are in proximity of one another. And in this pasuk you see hares in the proximity of birds, and so hence his reference to accepting upon himself birds. He's accepting upon himself a mitzvah that one mitzvah that relates simultaneously to birds and hare, as we saw in the Tosfos explanation. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, V'Rabbonon Savri, Lo Matfis Inish B'Midi D'Somech Lei. The person vows, he doesn't vow himself in a fashion that binds himself to items that are in proximity of one another. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Dekulei Alma Loi Matfis. Rabbi Yochanan takes the opinion that all agree, Rabbi Meir as well, that people don't bind themselves to things, to items, to words that are simply in proximity of one another. Elahainu Taimud Rabbi Meir. The reason for Rabbi Meir, where one accepts upon himself birds, we're fearful, we're suspicious that his intention was to accept upon himself something that could lead to the bringing of birds. And what is that? That's Nazirus, as we already explained. Elo, let's read this in the words of the Gemara. Elohainu taima de Rabbi Meir, de chayshinon, and we dash on, and this is a key word in the upcoming Gemara. We suspect, we take into consideration, Shemot Sipori Nozir Tomei Kibelov, maybe he accepted upon himself a mitzvah that could relate to birds. And that is the case of, that is true in the case of Nazirus. When he becomes defiled, he has to bring as part of his Nozir Tomei sacrificial offerings, birds. Rashi cites the pasuk in which you find that. The Gemara continues with a question. Michtik, Chayshin and Komar. Oh, so now you're saying that Rabbi Yochanan is based on suspicion, that maybe, a possibility. Well, once you say that, maybe he's not accepting upon himself Nazirus. Maybe he's accepting upon himself something else. And you'll notice we have triangles. These are a series, highlighting the word Dilma, maybe series of alternative explanations. Dilma, Tzipori Nedova, Kibel Olav. Maybe someone who says, Harei Olai Tziporim, he's accepting upon himself to bring a voluntary bird sacrifice. And he's not accepting upon himself Nazirus. Let's take a look at the Rashi. across from here, michti chayshin and koma, klomar de lo have nazir, elo mishum, diamrinon, shema tzipori, nazir talmei kiva lov, vibosa chashosho azlinon. If you're determining things based on suspicion or possibilities, lechush dilma tzipori, nidavo kiva lov, maybe he accepted, maybe he's accepting upon himself to bring a voluntary bird offering. V'lo nit nazirus el aflov. Amai koma Rabbi Meir davi nazir klal. Nazirus is something that is part of the realm of haflaw. Ish ki afli lindor neder lazir 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 l'shem. You find the posuk using the word lahafli. Lahafli, haflaw, means clear speech. And by saying harei alai tzibor, you don't have clear speech leading me to the Nazirus conclusion. So maybe he's, by saying harei alai tziborim, he is accepting upon himself a voluntary bird offering. The Gemara says, if that were the case, im kain harei alai kain mi boyalei. He would have phrased it that way, using the word kain. Kain is a reference to a pair of birds. And that's what one would have said had he been accepting upon himself a voluntary bird sacrifice. So therefore, harei tziporim, that's a reference to Nazirus. Question, v'dilmo harei tzipori mitzora komar? Granted that he's accepting upon himself something that's bird-related, and it's explained by Rashi that this question is a question that is raised against Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Maybe the person, by saying, all right, Tziporim, is someone accepting upon himself to bring the bird requirements of a Mitzora. A Mitzora is a person that experiences Nigoyim, and at the conclusion of the Nigoyim, the Tzoras period, birds are brought as part of his Mitzora requirements. And maybe this speaker, when he says Harei Alai Tziporim, he's committing himself to bringing birds for a Mitzora. The Gemara responds, Kegoin Shehoya Nozir Oiver Lofonov. When the person was saying Harei Alai Tziporim, he wasn't saying so in a vacuum. He was saying so while a Nozir was passing in front of him. Question, V'dilma Nozir Tomei Lofotrim in Korbonosov Komar. Maybe the speaker intended to accept upon himself the bringing of the bird offerings required by this Nazir, who was a Nazir Tomei that was passing in front of him, and his whole intention was to bring on his behalf, to buy for him his bird korbanos, but not that the speaker was accepting upon himself Nazirus. The Gemara answers, well, what the Mishnah was talking about is Kegon Shei Nazir Tohor Oiver Lofonov, that a Nazir that was not defiled was walking in front of him. So a regular, undefiled Nazir passing in front of him, and the speaker is saying, Harei Alai Tziporim, we conclude that he is accepting upon himself Nazirus. My Binayu. And here, in order to appreciate this question, we look at the Rashi. Rashi in the lower part of the narrow lines, My Binayu, what is the difference between the Rabbi Yochanan and the Reish Lakish? Whether you accept Rabbi Yochanan's approach or Rabbi Reish Lakish's approach, lo mitzvah shmeitze, we don't explain, we can't explain our sukya, our topic, elo kegoin shenozir Torah v'lufanov. It must be a case where an undefiled nazir is walking in front of them, mishum de'islei lemifrach bo kolhani piruchin. The questions that we raised, as we indicated before, these were questions against both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If you don't insert this element of a Nozir Torah walking in front of them, the above questions could have been raised. V'tarisna, and we explained them, the Nozir Torah v'lefonav askinon. Mali imishum tziporim smuchim l'seyar, imishum tzipori Nozir tomei, imishum hachi have le Nozir. Whichever approach you take, either take the Reish Lakish approach that Harei Alai Tziporim is a reference to Tziporim that are near the word Seyar, the proximity explanation, or you accept the Rabbi Yochanan explanation. both approaches, we needed to say that we're talking about a case where a Nozer Torah was passing in front of them. So where do you find a difference between their approaches? The Gemara answers, Ika binayak gon to Omar, Tziporim hasmuchim l'sear olai. L'Rav Yochanan, afal gav yomar hochi, if a person spelled out, now notice, this case is where the speaker spells out Tziporim hasmuchim l'sear olai. This is not the case of the Mishnah. In the case of the Mishnah, we were dealing with someone that said, Harei olai tziporim. And Reish Lakish explained that as a person referring to a pasuk where tziporim are in the proximity of Seor. But in this case, he spells that out. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Afagav diomar hachi, even though he spelled it out, only if a nazir is actually passing in front of him will he become a nazir. If not, then no. L'Rab Shimon ben Lakish, afagav the ein nazir oiver lefonav, even without the nazir passing in front of him, in this case where he spells out Tziporim hasmuchim l'sear olai, not leaving it up to us to guess that that's what he means, but he spells it out, well, then you don't need to have the nazir passing in front in order to gain clarity. Here we ask a question on a point that was mentioned above, and we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align it with what you saw above, and hence a question. Notice the question lasts a number of lines. The Gemara asks, Mi ika l'man d'omar, could there be anyone that holds lo matvis inish b'milsa d'samech lei, that disregards the proximity in verses, proximity of words in psukim? V'hatanya, ha'imer yamin, ha'reze shvuah. If a person says yamin in the context of what sounds like a vow, he is bound. An example would be if a person says Yamin Shelo Ochal Ki Karzeh. Imagine a person says that. He says Yamin. We haven't explained the word yet, but he says Yamin that I will not eat this bread. The source we just read in the Gemara indicates that's an oath. My time. How do you see that the word Yamin is a reference to an oath? Lav mishum dechsiv vayorem yaminoi usmoilo shamay veishava b'chay ho'ilam. So you see in this pasuk the word yamino together with the word vayishava indicating yamin means an oath. So how do we come to that conclusion? By proximity. The Gemara says amri lo. That's not how we come to that conclusion. Rather, mishum diyamin gufei ikrishvo. The word yamin itself means an oath. It's not that we define yamin by it through its proximity to another word, to the word vayishava. But the word yamin means a shvua. The sanya, minayin loimer yamin shehi shvua. From where do you know that one who says yamin, as we said, yamin kikoze olai, if he were to say such a thing, that would mean he is accepting upon himself a vow. For example, yamin shelo ochal kikoze. He vows not to, he yamins, which we mean vows not to eat this bread. From where do you know that that's the case? Shenemar nishba Hashem bi yimino. Uminayin lo'imer smoil shehishwan. From where do we know that if a person were to say, smoil shelo ochal kikarzeh, that also is an oath. Shenemar, the pasuk continues to say, ubizroa uzo. And the Mefarshim explain that this is a reference. There's a reference here to tefillin. In other words, you have here, according to Rashi, there's a contrast between the word yamin, and in the same pasuk you see ubzroa uzo, yamin meaning right, but we're explaining further it means an oath, And in contrast, that would mean left. And Rashi points out that the Gemara in Brochus, in response to the question, from where do you know that the Almighty lays tefillin? And this pasuk is quoted. And tefillin, it just so happens, are placed on one's left arm. So these words, yamin and smol, of course, in the context of a vow, results in a shivua, an oath. The Mishnah. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have an osei, a topic heading, and we feature the following. Machloikis tanoim, a tanaic disagreement, be'inyin mishin nozar midovar echad, kegol min achar tzanim. The pasuk in the Torah, Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Noso, a number of items are spelled out. You can see this in Parshas Noso, Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalid, Kol Yemei Nizro, Mikoyla Shir Yeosa, Migefen Ayayin, Mechar Tzanim, V'ad Zag Lo Yochel. So a number of items are spelled out, anything from the vine, whether it's wine, whether it's grape seeds, it's grape peels, the nazir shall not consume. So what we're going to deal with is, from where do you know that someone who would accept restriction from one of the items, could go min achar tzanim. He says, I'm a nazir, from nazir meaning I will abstain from eating grape seeds. Haim hu nazir alo. Does that bind him to actual nazirus or not? And the Gemara also will deal with number two, ma kol echol oseim ha-mekoros shel ha-sheni. What will each opinion do with the sources featured by the other? We turn to the Mishnah, hareini nozir min ha-chartzanim u-min ha-zogim, and the Mefarshim explain that this is it's or, not in addition to. A person accepts upon himself nazirus. He says, I'm a nozir, I'm going to abstain from grape seeds, umin hazogim, or from grape peels, umin hatiglachas, or from haircut, umin hatumah, I will abstain from defilement of the dead. Hare ze nozir, this binds him, v'chol dikduke nazirus alov, and all the details of nazirus will apply. So that even though he mentioned one item, he becomes bound in all of the details regarding the zeros. Masnisin deloka Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah does not conform to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Desan Rabbi Shimon Oimer Eino Chayov Ad Shiyodur Mikulam. Rabbi Shimon says that a person is not bound to Nazirus until he itemizes each one. Now, the Mefarshim explain that as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, and you can see this explanation of the Tosfos at the top of the Dalet Amud Aleph, the top Tosfos says, some of these Tosfos that are out are not in their proper location. The Tosfos that are relevant to the end of this Daf Gimel Beis spill over onto the top of Daf Dalet. So there the Tosfos says, Avshi Yizar Mikulam, O Yoimar Stamo, Demashma Kol Mi Nazirus Kibolei. A person, according to Rabbi Shimon, could say Hareini Nazir without any detailing. That would bind him to the entire realm of Nazirus. However, if he's not going to stop just with saying I'm a Nazir, but he starts itemizing, Hartson Vizag, Tzorch Lefarish Kulam, Gam Tiglachas Vituma. It's a shita that's like, it's either all or nothing kind of thing. Either you say just nazir without any itemizing, but if you start itemizing, you will not be bound to nazirus unless you itemize each one of the elements that we just saw referenced in Tosfos. The Gemara continues. For Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan who are represented by what we saw in our Mishnah, filu lo nozar elo bechad minhon havi nozir, even if he expresses abstention from one of them, that is enough to bind him to full-fledged zeros. You can see diamonds that highlight the Gemara's search for the reasons for each one of these opinions. My time of the Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon or from where does Reb Shimon know that once you start itemizing, you'd have to itemize each one? Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin. This is the Pasuk we cited earlier, Pasuk Dalid in Perek Vav, Mechatzanim Viad Zag. So Rashi, he explains a little more. We look at Rashi four lines from the bottom. Mikol Asher Yaseh Mashma Shitzor She Nozer Mikol Asher Yaseh. That if he's going to abstain, express abstention, so he has to itemize. Sheinu Nozir Elim Kein Nozir Mikol. He won't be a Nozir until he itemizes each one. So that's what Rabbi Shimon sees in this pasuk. On my time, what's the basis for their explanation? Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Miyayin v'sheichor yazir. In order to appreciate this a little more, we look at the Tosfos once again on Dalet Amud Aleph, the third Tosfos on the page there. Miyayin v'sheichor yazir, mashma, this indicates afilu b'chad, even one. Have a nazir, even he mentions only one. Now, How does he see this? So here Tosfos explains. Tokvaksiv, we've already seen these items mentioned. Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen. Anything that we saw in Pasuk Dalet, anything that comes forth from the vine, that was mentioned already as being prohibited to the Nozir. Lama Lila Michtav, why is there the need to repeat then Miyayin V'Sheichar? Elo Lashminen, it's there to tell me that Afilu L'Nodar Ki'im B'Chad Mehani. Even if he accepts upon himself one of these things, the Chayon Nazirus Olav, the Nazirus will be binding upon him. Vafilu Kishibol of Farish, even if he tries to itemize or attempts to itemize, one is enough. The Hocha, in this Pasuk of Miyayin V'Sheichar, Chartzen V'Zag Loksif, we don't find the other items specified. We now continue with Rabbi Shimon. What does he do with that pasuk? For Rabbi Shimon, Nami Hoksiv Miyayin V'Sheicha Yozir. Rabbi Shimon, who spoke about the need for itemizing, without which you're not bound, does it not indicate in this pasuk that that mentioning even one item is binding? The Gemara answers, Hahu Miboya Lei. Rabbi Shimon needs this pasuk of Miyayin V'Sheicha Yazir Lesor Yayin Mitzvah K'Yayin Harashus. Here we'll translate that through Nazirus you are prohibiting yourself from wine that otherwise would be incumbent upon you to drink, just like the prohibition from drinking optional wine. The next piece of Gemara I must point out is the subject of great discussion in the commentaries. So we will be following the approach taken by the Rabbeinu Tam that you find in the Tosfos again on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph toward the latter part of the Tosfos Dibur Maskil Maihi. So that's just to know where we're coming from in our explanation. We also have some markings, and you notice the Gemara, after saying that he needs the pasuk, Rabbi Shimon uses the pasuk of the Rabbanan Yayin V'Sheicha Yazir to tell me the Isur of Yayin Mitzvah, just like Yayin Rishus. And now the Gemara asks, Maihi, what are you referring to? We have a bracketed section. The skipping of the brackets will help very much in the reading. Within the brackets, you'll see a piece of Gemara that we read with a tone of tmiha, of wonderment. So, before we get to the tone of wonderment, the question that's raised in the brackets, let's just get to the answer. When the Gemara here asks, what do you mean by the Isser of Yayin Mitzvah, Ki Yayin Rishus, my he? We skip to the top line of Dalet Amud Aleph, at the end of the line, Ki Hod Yama Rava. This is understood in the context of Rava's teaching. Shvua she'eshte, a person swears that he will drink wine. V'chozer v'yomer, and then he says, Hareini nozir. Well, that's accepting upon yourself a type of vow prohibiting wine drinking. Asya nezirus chaylo al shvua. The pasuk tells me that the nezirus acceptance comes and prevails upon or overrules the individual's shvua. In other words, he will be prohibited from drinking wine, even though he had accepted upon himself a vow to drink. So I need the pasuk for that purpose. The Gemara continues at that point. It says, "Rabbona nami homi boyale lesser yai mitzvah kiayin rishus." Do the Rabbonan, in fact, also not need the pasuk for that to tell me that Nazirus is so powerful that it prohibits you in drinking wine that otherwise would have been a mitzvah to drink, just like it prohibits optional drinking of wine? The Gemara answers that you're right. The Rabbonan do use the pasuk for that. However, they see their point in the pasuk as well. In Cain, Lemakra miyayin. The pasuk, if all its point was to tell me that yayin shel mitzvah is also just like yayin shel rishus, it would have been enough for the pasuk to have read in pasuk gimel miyayin yazir, my v'shechar. Why does the pasuk add that word v'shechar, meaning we'll say wine that's intoxicating? Shamis mino tarti. The rabbonim see both points. Namely, that when it comes to itemizing, you'll be bound even if you mention just one nazir item. And also, that nazirus' chal takes hold, even in a case of yayin shel mitzvah. Now, we skipped a bracketed section, and let's go back to that now. We saw Reb Shimon explaining that he would use the pasuk of yayin v'shecha yozir lesser yayin mitzvah ki yayin arishus. And so I have a pasuk to tell me that. Well, my he, what do you mean by yayin of mitzvah, obligatory wine, that a Torah pasuk is telling me that you cannot drink because of your nazirus? So what is that? Kedusha v'yavdalta, and here we're reading with the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation. You read it with intonation of wonderment. Are you telling me that the Ayin Mitzvah is a reference to the Kiddush wine and Havdalah wine? V'chi, notice the girsa change. V'chi mushba v'oimed olav mehar Sinai is the necessity of drinking wine as part of Kiddush that we recite on Friday nights and holidays, and the wine that's part of the Havdalah ceremony. Is this something that we are bound to by the giving of the Torah? Is it Da'oraisa? Certainly not. So what is the Gemara trying to say over here? If you're going to explain that Yayin Mitzvah, that the Pasuk is telling me, as a result of your nazirus, you don't drink. If you think that means now that you accept the nazirus, you can't drink the wine of Kiddush and Havdalah, that would mean that the Torah expects me to drink wine, and the pasuk comes along to tell me don't drink it. But that whole assumption is not true in the first place. The Torah does not obligate me to drink wine as part of Kiddush and Havdalah. It's true that the Torah may very well obligate me to recite a text that we call Kiddush, but the drinking of the wine, that is not something that the Torah expects. And hence, you wouldn't have a pasuk telling me through the nazirus not to drink something that the Torah itself doesn't even expect me to drink. In mundane terms, you don't use, let's say, pasuk power to prohibit something that is simply of a rabbinic nature. So what does the Gemara then actually answer? Yeah, I need pasuk power to tell me that the nazirus will overrule something else that the Torah itself would have otherwise expected me to do, to drink. And that's the case of Shvua She'eshte. So that's the Chiddush of the Pasuk. And this is, of course, as Reb Shimon, we saw the Rabbanan also say that from the Pasuk of Miyayin V'Sheicha Yozir, Bamidbar Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel, is telling me that even though you have a Torah duty to drink wine because you took an oath to drink the wine, the Nazirus that you accepted upon yourself stops you, prevents you. Now, we continue in the Gemara, where we left off before, six lines from the top, in the middle of the line. Having said all of this, we then see that the very pasuk that Reb Shimon, the very pasuk that the Rabbanon had cited as their basis, Reb Shimon uses the pasuk for this din of Leser Yayin Mitzvah Kayin Rishus. The Rabbanon, who had disagreed with Reb Shimon, take that very pasuk and maintain their original position, plus say the pasuk serves as a basis of Yayin Leser Yayin Mitzvah Kayin Rishus. So is it not so at this point then that the Rabbanon position would seem to be stronger? So hence the Gemara goes on, Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Taimo. As far as Shitas Rabbi Shimon is concerned, then what is the basis for his point of view? That when it comes to itemizing, you would have to itemize everything. Let us restate that which we just said in a more accurate fashion. Just before this point in the Gemara, we saw the Rabbanon justifying their position by the word v'shechar, indicating that you don't have to itemize. Well then, when it comes to Reb Shimon, who says that you, once you get involved with itemizing Nazirus practices, you've got to enumerate each one. So what does Reb Shimon answer to the Rabbanan who said that from the word v'sheichor, you see, you don't have to itemize each one? The Gemara continues. Reb Shimon, hainu taimo. Reb Shimon says, as far as the word v'sheichor is concerned, it comes to teach me something else. Not like the Rabbanan said that by mentioning one item that binds you to Nazirus. Notice that we have a long marking at this point. Rabbi Shimon Hainu Taimo, the Kosav Shechar. You want to know why the Torah uses the word the Shechar? It's not to tell me that you don't need to itemize, but rather, La'alufi. La'alufi means to learn. La'alufi Shechar Shechar Lemikdash, to create a word comparison from the topic of Nazirus to the topic of Kohen priestly service in the Beis HaMikdash while intoxicated. Now, first of all, just realize that it's prohibited for a Kohen while intoxicated to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. But what are the guidelines? What are the parameters of this? The Gemara explains. Dichtiv, Yayin v'shechar al teisht ato v'necho itoch. That is the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yud pasuk Tes, where the Kohanim are warned not to consume Yayin v'shechar before entering and serving in the Beis Hamikdash. Ma gabi nozir Yayin hu delitzar v'shar mashkin lo. A nozir is known to be prohibited from wine. He's not prohibited from, let us say, from liquor. Wine is that which a nozir is prohibited from, but other beverages he is not prohibited from. Afgabi mikdash nami. So too, when it comes to the Kohen restriction in serving while intoxicated, yayin hu delitzar v'shar mashkin hamishtakrin lo. The prohibition in the pasuk is a prohibition that is limited to wine, that a Kohen who became intoxicated through the drinking of wine shall not serve in the Beis Hamikdash. But if he became intoxicated through some other beverage, that is not what the Pasuk is prohibiting or warning against. Ulafuki mid Rabbi Yehuda. And this approach, this limited restriction upon Kohanim, is to the exclusion of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Desan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochad ve lekeilis v'shosu dvash v'cholov v'nichnas lamikdash, chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says if a person ate this type of fig, dvelo kilis is a type of fig, keilis figs, drank honey and milk, this brings on intoxication. And according to Buda, if one was ochav velikilis shosat vash v'cholav and entered the mikdash and served, Kohen entered the mikdash after having consumed that and then served, he would be chayav. He would be in violation of the Torah warning not to do so. We here, Rabbi Shimon, is coming along and telling us, well, my opinion is not like that of Rabbi Huda, and that the Torah restriction is limited to wine. And how do I know that? Because I see the word shechar in the context of nazir, and the word shechar in the context of the Kohen prohibition. And just like nazirus is limited to wine, so too the Kohen prohibition of serving while intoxicated is limited to intoxication through wine only. Iboyesema. Now, we have this trapezoid or volcano shape marking that was featured above in our Mivneh heading, and we wrote over there, Shnei Efshorios, Ma Lo Mid Rav Shimon Miyayin V'Sheikhu Yozir. Two possibilities as to what Rabbi Shimon learns from the Pasuk of Yayin V'Sheikhu Yozir, which happened to be the Pasuk that the Rabbonan cited as their source for the non-need or limited itemization resulting in acceptance of Nazirus. So Reb Shimon will learn from that, Shanazirus Chal Al Misha Nishba She'eshte Yayin. Number two, Shelo Eshte Yayin. The second approach, the one we're about to learn, is quite different from the approach in number one. In approach number two, we will see a person vowed not to drink wine. And after vowing not to drink wine, he accepts upon himself Nazirus, which also is abstention from wine. Our note continues, V'lamrot, and even though, Sheba'almo, Reb Shimon Sover, Ein Isur Chalal Isur, that when one is prohibited, one is restricted from something, a second restriction cannot be superimposed on a pre-existing restriction. V'achar shenishba shelo lishtos yayin, and after someone swore not to drink wine, salka daitech, I would have thought, shelo yachu nazirus, that the nazirus vow doesn't take hold. Komash Malon, this pasuk of Yayin V'Sheikha Yozir comes to tell me, Dechal, that the second vow takes hold. In other words, he vowed not to drink wine. He accepts upon Nazirus also not to drink wine. Then he goes ahead and drinks wine. The chiddush here is that he is in violation of two sins. Even though in general, according to Rabbi Shimon, Ein Isur Chalal Isur, once something is prohibited, it can't become more prohibited. And if you violate one prohibition, that's all. You're not going to be in violation of a second prohibition. We'll see an illustration of that when we get into the Gemara. In this case, with regard to Nazirus, Nazirus represents, even according to Shimon, a second prohibition that sets in. Now, the Gemara. E boyesema. Rabbi Shimon, before we go further, I know sometimes we can lose sight of the forest for the trees. What we're trying to do in the Gemara is explain, we're giving a second explanation as to what Rav Shimon learns from the Pasuk Yayin V'Shecha Yozir that the Rabbonin had used for their position. So, Iboy Yisema, Rabbi Shimon, Les Le, Isur Chalal Isur. Rabbi Shimon, in general, and we're adopting the explanation you can find in the Tosfos to explain this Gemara, that in general, Rabbi Shimon disavows the concept of Isur Chal Al Isur. Disanyan, where do we see an illustration of that? Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Ha'eichel Nevela B'Yoma Kippurim, if a person ate prohibited meat, Nevela is meat that was not slaughtered, an animal died before Yom Kippur, and you have and now Yom Kippur sets in, and you eat that meat. Before Yom Kippur set in, the meat was already usur. It was usur as the isur of Nevela, the prohibition, the Torah prohibition of consuming unslaughtered meat. Yom Kippur is a day in which one is prohibited to consume food. What happens if a person ate this Nevela on Yom Kippur? Lo and behold, Reb Shimon says, Potter, you are exempt from having violated Yom Kippur. What does this mean to us? Once something becomes usur, it can't become more usur. It was usur before Yom Kippur as Nevela. It can't become now usur also as food prohibited to eat on Yom Kippur. Therefore, when you eat Nevela on Yom Kippur, you're not said to be in violation of Yom Kippur. So what's the point? We see that Reb Shimon holds in general, Ein Isur Chal Al Isur, that once something is prohibited, it can't become more prohibited. Comes along Yayin V'Shecha Yozir and tells me that if a person had sworn not to drink wine, and he then vowed to accept upon himself Nazirus, also wine restriction, and then he goes ahead and drinks wine, Rabbi Shimon will concede that in this case he is in violation of two offenses. One, violating his original vow not to drink wine, and two, his violation of the Nazirus that he had accepted upon himself. Now, Ularabono Nami Hoksiv, and at this point, the Gemara asks, concerning the Rabbonin who said that when it comes to itemizing and Nazirus obligation, by itemizing even one element, that binds you to Nazirus in its entirety, is there not Reb Shimon's Pasuk? Nami Hoksiv Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Ayayin, and it went on to say Mechatzanim V'Adzag, that was Reb Shimon's Pasuk indicating that if you're going to start itemizing, you're not going to be a Nazir unless you mention all of the elements of Nazirus. What do the Rabbanan do with that Pasuk? Amri Loch Rabbanan Hosam Limeid Al Isure Nazir Shemitstarfim Ze Imze. The Rabbanan learned from that Pasuk the following, that one will not be in violation of Nazirus unless he consumes a minimum amount of, let's say, an olive quantity of that which is prohibited. Let us say he would have eaten a half olive quantity of grape seeds and a half olive quantity of grape peels. The Rabbonin say from this Pasuk, we learn that the different elements or the different items prohibited by Nazirus join with one another to complete the minimum required amount. For Rabbi Shimon, is it not so that maybe he would need the pasuk for that and not for his din of itemizing? Not so. Less lay tziruf. Rabbi Shimon will tell you, and we'll see a source in a moment to this effect, that you are considered in violation, namely you can be punished by lashing for violating a negative command of the Torah by consuming even a kolshu, even a negligible amount. In other words, the concept of a minimum quantity to constitute a Torah violation in Reb Shimon's realm of thinking doesn't exist. Less late tziruf. He doesn't have this concept of tziruf, of needing to create a minimum quantity by joining up partial quantities of different elements. So once you say, he doesn't have the concept of tziruf, therefore the pasuk is available for his din, for Reb Shimon's teaching, the teaching of itemizing. Disanya, and where do we see that Reb Shimon doesn't hold from tziruf? Reb Shimon Oimer, kol shehu lamakis. A person will be subject to the Torah punishment of lashing even if he eats a negligible amount of that which is prohibited. So if a person eats, let's say, nevela or trefa or many, many other prohibited items, and he eats a mere speck of it, he will be guilty of receiving lashing. Lo amru kezayas el inyan korban. The concept of kezayas, the concept of eating an olive quantity, that has relevance only with regard to the obligation of bringing a sacrifice. So, for example, if a person consumed unwittingly a chalev being a prohibited substance from animals, and he ate an olive quantity of that unwittingly, he would then have to bring a sacrifice. Less than that, if he did so unwittingly, so he would not have to bring a sacrifice. If, however, he ate less than an olive quantity of whatever forbidden substance knowingly, he would be subject to malchus. We have provided on the side of the Gemara a chart indicating what does each one, the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon, what does each one learn from the various psukim that we've cited in the course of this Gemara. We had cited, you can see on the chart without spelling out all of the details, but you can see going down the right-hand column of this chart, we have the pasuk Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefen Hayayin Mechatzani Matzag. This was Reb Shimon's pasuk for the idea of itemizing. What do the Rabbanan do with that? And then the next item under that was the pasuk of the Rabbanan Miyayin V'Sheicha Yozir, from which the Rabbanan learned their point that even mentioning one item binds you to Nazirus in its entirety. Then what does Reb Shimon do with that pasuk? And then we had the issue of the word V'Sheichar, from the fact that the pasuk spelled out V'Sheichar, not just said Miyayin Yozir. What does each one learn from that? So you can use the chart for as a source of a quick review. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.